Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Welcome back to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, welcome back again. 11 o'clock hour. Issel and Louis here on 680-105.7, ESPNLouisville.com, or the app, however you are hanging out with us today. We appreciate it. Keep those texts coming, 437-9680 on the UPS Jobs text line. A reminder that gas prices are high. Let Liquor Barn use their gas to bring their orders to you. Orders over $50, no delivery fee. Liquor Barn app and liquorbarn.com for that. And a reminder that Louisville Geek is making our lives a lot better with those computers. I make computer jokes. I'm making it about the last remaining computer that is about to be swapped out on Friday. LouisvilleGeek.com for any form of IT service, internet security, whatever you might be needing. LouisvilleGeek.com. All right, Dan. My anniversary is coming up on Monday. I think we should have a couple of powwow days about what I need to do here.
Ooh.
And the good news is my wife is like yours in that she does not listen to this show. And so nice and easy. Talk about her as much as I want. And so I'm looking at the – so I will obviously need Avery Dill's help on this. 19th anniversary on Monday for me.
Right.
Bronze is the modern gift, and the gemstone is aquamarine. The flower is chrysanthemum. I can't believe I got chrysanthemum out of – twice. Hey, what's up? On live radio. Would you rather have bronze or aquamarine in your life?
Aquamarine.
It matches your hair, right?
Aquamarine. Yeah. Good
ugly.
Choice.
Bronze is ugly.
Good to know. All right. So aquamarine, not cheap, I'm discovering, unfortunately. So there we go.
But you know, Louis, what I've learned over 53 years of marriage, I used to get Sherry very expensive gifts for her birthday or for the anniversary or for Christmas. And what I've learned is it's not so much the value of the gift as your marriage, let's say, matures. It's that you think of the little things along the way. For instance, when Sherry came in the house yesterday after being gone for 2 weeks, I had a bouquet of flowers on the kitchen table.
Yeah, you learned
and
that from
so,
me. Yeah.
And so if you just do little things like that, I think, you know, more often than buying big gifts on special days.
Right. So I think we've discussed this on the show. I've never bought her an anniversary gift because when we got married, we were broke.
Right.
So we're not allowed to buy anniversary or birthday gifts. So this would actually be a legitimate surprise that I would have something on our anniversary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Right.
So I thought 19, because it's like not 20. It's not a zero or a five, if you will. And if you just show up with something for the 19th, she'd be like, oh, you got 19? Yeah, that's what we're doing now?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So
no.
that would be the catching her off guard kind of thing.
Yeah, no, so, but what I meant was it catching her off guard is the more important part,
right?
Yeah, not the value of the gift.
4-stone ring for our 4 kids, but aquamarine for 19. Boom.
Yes.
Okay.
Boom.
Just don't do bronze. Don't do it. No bronze.
Oh, that's good. All right. Well,
that means you came in third.
Oh, the Marriage Olympics here on Issel and Louis, 680-105.7. All right, so I want to talk about this LIV story because it's one of my favorite things we've talked about this year. We will get to True Crime Tuesday in about 15 minutes with one ace producer, Avery Dill. Hotel murder is the topic today. Tiger Woods getting together with players at the BMW Championships to rally the troops against the LIV. What does this tell Dan Issel?
It tells me the PGA is scared to death of the LIV. That's what it tells me. They have to make, you might not be able to play in the majors if you don't belong to the PGA. This is what got you to this point. This is a great organization. Forget the fact that they've been hiding money and now they're finally having to up the purses a little bit. Forget that part. This is a great organization, and you shouldn't go. They're scared to death, Louis. Scared to death.
You know what's interesting? I was thinking about it this morning before the show, and the PGA is so omnipresent in golf. You know that if you are a pro at any level, you're a member of the PGA.
It's right? A monopoly.
They have their fingers in everything. And so unlike, say, basketball, where there's the NBA and then everything below it feeds to it, but it's not like the NBA runs AAU or runs the NCAA or runs high school basketball. The PGA's got their fingers in everything. And mm-hmm. and you start to wonder if they realize their model could become like the NBA or like Major League Baseball or like, I don't know, name another sport, the NHL maybe, where all of these other organizations exist and eventually they feed to you. But there isn't going to be this kind of built-in loyalty to the PGA because you came up and, you know, if you're Justin Thomas locally, for example, just using him as an example because he grew up in Oldham County, his dad was a PGA pro. And they always say that. Well, yeah, my dad's not a golf pro. He's a PGA pro, right? They use that term. And it's a really smart gimmick by the PGA, right, to get that in your mind, something you say all the time. And I wonder if they see that going away a little bit, where guys might come up, and then eventually their best way to earn a living is to be like Dustin Johnson or Bryson DeChambeau or Bubba Watson or Greg Norman or, you know, Cameron Smith or Brooks Koepka and go play in the LIV. And so I think they worry about that part, but I think your first point is dead on, which is they're shaking a little bit right now.
Well, and you know, when the Saudis came up with this idea, they could have gone in competition with, you know, if in fact this is sports washing, a term that has become very popular with this item. They could have chosen anything, Louis. They could have said, we're going to start a football conference to go in competition with the NFL. And we're going to spend all these billions of dollars on high-profile NFL players. They could have said, we're going to start a competition to the NBA and do the same. What they chose was professional golf, which I think shows that they thought that was the low-hanging fruit out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's another reason the PGA is so petrified about what's going on. Did you see supposedly Cameron Smith, who is the number – he just won the British Open, right? He's the number two-ranked player in the world, and he – is rumored to be the next big golfer that jumps to the LIV. On Saturday of the tournament that just took place, the first round of the FedEx Cup in Memphis,
yep,
he was given a two-stroke penalty.
Yep.
And I wonder if he was, Rory McIlroy, who has been, you know, one of the leaders of this PGA protest, if McIlroy would have gotten a two-stroke penalty,
nope,
because it was very controversial. And Cameron Smith has now announced, I think just this morning, that he's not playing in the next tournament.
Yep.
He's going to take the next week off. And so look for him very shortly to be the next big name golfer that jumps to the LIV. But yeah, I mean, you know, if you're frightened about something,
right,
you pull out the driver. And in this case, the driver is Tiger Woods. So he's going to be there to rally the troops, and everybody's going to say, yeah, Tiger, this is great. We're on board. The PGA is terrific. And then the next guy that gets offered $100 million will be playing for the LIV the next week.
You know, it's interesting. The PGA is using Tiger as their driver when Elin Nordegren used a driver to try to beat up Tiger's car a couple years ago. How the tables have turned. Fascinating. By the way, this Cameron Smith thing getting out of the BMW championship. So my wife and I, we try to do, you know, periodic date nights. A lot of times it's centered around stand-up comedy. We'll watch stand-up comedy together. But once in a while, we'll just watch silly, you know, comedy movies together just to have a laugh. Essentially, all the things we watch together are sort of.
So you have a date night at home?
Many times it's at home, yeah. Right.
What a cheapskate.
Yeah, you're right.
Hire a babysitter, man.
You got anything else there, Mr. NBA Pension? Kids out of the house? Anything else you got there? So one of the movies that we've watched at least three times is a movie called Mean Girls. Have you seen Mean Girls, Avery?
I love Mean Girls.
Attagirl, perfect. Okay. Dan, have you seen the movie Mean Girls? Okay,
no,
so
there's a great
scene. So Cameron Smith reminded me by saying he has a hip injury. He can't play in the BMW tour. There's a great scene where one of the girls wants to go out and she calls a friend and they realize they're all three-way calling one another. And it all gets found out, right? They're all gossiping behind one another's backs. And she goes, hey, let's head out. She goes, I can't. I'm sick. And that's Cameron Smith right now. I can't play. My hip hurts. That's exactly what this is, right?
You know, exactly.
He just doesn't want to hang out with the PGA anymore.
Yeah. We'll see where this goes. But I think the Saudis keep throwing this money around. They're only going to be adding to their tour.
Yeah, I think more and more people are going to be jumping over there too. Just got one of those texts about how terrible the Saudis are. Thank you for texting the show on the UPS jobs text line 437-9680. Dan and I are very much on record. If you start to go after people's bosses and where their money comes from, eventually you will have no friends. All right. So the other thing I wanted to get to before True Crime Tuesday, did you read? Sorry, Dan, I'm doing radio. I know you read it. This Kevin Durant and the Suns.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting because they talk about, the previous trade with when they brought, Barkley out west, and it did change the trajectory of what they were doing. I mean, let's be really clear. I think that that Durant is clearly a better player in this case. What did you make of this, though?
It's a non-story.
Okay.
Because the Suns can't trade for Kevin Durant right now. They can't trade because of they matched the deal that Ayton got. They can't trade him, and they can't trade Booker because they extended him. Well, if you can't trade Booker and you can't trade Ayton, how in the world are you going to make a trade for Kevin Durant?
Yeah,
it's a non-story. It's a non-starter.
I think the trade happens in January if it happens. I think I've been on record with this, too. I think that if you're going to be able to move Ayton, you have to wait till January. And so in this case, if you want to be able to get Durant, you're going to have to be a little patient. The problem is Durant is so disgruntled that I don't know I want him anywhere near my team.
Mm.
I mean, he just came out the other day, and, you know, the owner of the, I think it's Sai is his last name, comes out and just says, hey, I believe in the front office of what we're doing here. And then Durant's like, great, choose between me and the front office then. It's like... What?
If you read this story, and it quotes Jerry Colangelo, who is Jerry's terrific. I met Jerry in 1975 when he put together an NBA and ABA tour in Japan, and have known Jerry since 1975. So he's a terrific guy, and he is actually the one who made that trade. Charles Barkley from the 76ers. And now, can you imagine pulling this trade off for Jeff Hornacek, Tim Perry, and Andrew Lang? I mean, Jeff Hornacek, I remember. Tim Perry, Andrew Lang a little bit. But can you imagine they got Charles Barkley for those three players? Come on, man.
By the way, quick aside, do you know the Jeff Hornacek shooting story from his wife?
No.
Okay, so I don't know if you remember, when he would take a free throw, he would always do a fake shot before he would shoot.
Uh-huh.
And apparently his wife came to him one day when he was in a shooting slump, and she said, "Do you ever try to, like, line up your wrist with the hoop?" He's like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "You know, like, make your hand really flat in the same direction as the hoop." And he was like, "Yeah, yeah, okay." And then he tried it, and it worked. Like this super low-hanging fruit thing that his wife noticed, and it just bang, nailed it. So, yeah, it's funny.
Hornacek was a great player when he was in Utah.
He fit the Utah thing really well. Yes, correct.
Yeah. No, it was perfect, because you had Karl Malone and John Stockton running the pick and roll all over the floor, yep. And all he did was hang out at the 3-point line.
Yep. No, he was perfect for that system.
Yep. Yeah. No, it was kind of like with Steve Kerr in Chicago.
Paxson in Chicago.
You know, everybody absolutely on the floor is looking at Michael Jordan. You just kind of stand there and wait for him to pass you the ball and have a wide open shot. But, no, Jeff was an important part to that Utah team.
That was Tayshaun in Detroit, too, right? Because you had Rip Hamilton running all over the place. You had Ben Wallace, who was never going to shoot. Chauncey was at the 3-point line. And then Tayshaun was just kind of off to the side when Rasheed Wallace didn't want to shoot. So, no, he got a bunch of great looks. Because of that. Reminder, hey, by the way, I didn't totally forgot. It's a delivery.com Tuesday. Tommy and his team bringing by lunch to our studio Sicilian pizza and pasta. Locally owned delivery.com brings the restaurant to you. Promo code, people, order now. Promo code order now. $10 off your next order. They are hiring drivers. Get paid per delivery. Keep your own tips. If you are at a restaurant looking to grow your business with food delivery, delivery.com, your neighborhood delivered. But yeah, I think of Tayshaun in that mold as well, because
yeah,
he was a much better shooter than people probably remember, just because he was so long, such a good defender. But I do know at Kentucky he had a bunch of good shots too. So I know.
I can't remember the circumstance, but I was in Memorial Coliseum, non-air conditioned Memorial Coliseum. When
finest volleyball facility anywhere, people, back
and
off.
And witnessed his very first practice.
Oh.
And you could tell from the first practice he had at UK, he was a special talent. I mean, he looked like Ichabod Crane. he had to put pads in his sport coat so his shoulders would hold it up, but he was a heck of a player.
Yeah, consensus All-American, of course, in 2001, and was second team All-American in 2002. So yeah, just an incredible player. And McDonald's All-American, came out of California, was Mr. Basketball of California. And I still think, Dan, one of the coolest things I've seen in person as a fan, I was there when he made the block on Reggie Miller in the playoffs.
Ooh.
Yeah, and so I was on the free throw line, probably third row, upper deck there in Indianapolis, and I watched Reggie go to the basket, and Tayshaun moves so quickly across the court, I don't even notice him until my friend next to me just smacks me in the arm and goes, "Tayshaun!" And Tayshaun just flies in. And it is one of the cleanest blocks you'll ever see. I mean, he got to the ball at its height, and just it was really a remarkable play. But that was the Garen Sheed game. I was a grad student in Bloomington, so I scraped some nickels together and went and watched the Pistons play the Pacers after the Pacers had won game one. And then, of course, the Pistons won the title that year. So
Coach Larry Brown,
that's
right?
Exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was Tayshaun. Yeah. He was drafted in 2002, so that was only his second full season in the league. And turned out to be a really nice player. 23rd overall, if memory serves, something like that, in the 20s at least, for the Pistons. But yeah, just an interesting player. One of those guys that I don't think you think of as, you know, they're not a Hall of Famer by any stretch, but man, he turned it into a really, really nice career.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, after the break, we will get it's True Crime Tuesday.
It's murder some people.
And Avery will Avery
don't
will
dance
walk,
to that. Don't dance to
us,
that.
Walk us through it.
We like crime on this show. Correction. I like crime and scaring you guys.
And burning people up. Reminder that this hour of the show is brought to you by our friends at Delta Dental of Kentucky. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. Just call 1-800-955-2030. That's 1-800-955-2030. Or you can visit them online at ky.deltadental.com.
You're listening to Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, welcome back in. Final segment here, 11 o'clock hour, Issel and Louis. Bob up next at noon. First Take at 3 with Streetle and Sweezy. Jack Grossman at 6 o'clock, Reds at 6:10 here on 680-105.7. Text in the show 437-9680. Avery Dill.
Nope, I'm not the phone number.
About to talk too much. All right, but first, from our friends at Kroger, how would you like to get even more savings and more benefits when you shop at Kroger? With a Boost by Kroger Plus membership, you'll enjoy 2 fuel points for every dollar you spend on groceries and general merchandise in-store. And with pickup or delivery, free delivery and lots more, membership starts at just $59. So sign up today at Kroger.com/boost. More savings, more benefits, a new level of membership with a Boost by Kroger Plus. All right. So that's a lot of reading, Dan. Glad I went to school. All right. So True Crime Tuesday. I pause because I have to – my loins, they're girded. How's that? And so always a little afraid that this is going to go somewhere that I thought I understood where this was going, and then it goes somewhere that I was not prepared for it to go. I love this one because it reminds me. So, Avery, I think something you would enjoy is, have you ever seen any of the Halloween episodes of The Simpsons?
Yes.
Okay. I think those are some of their very best episodes. And one of the reasons they're great is because they're so over the top, right?
They really are.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I love how Marge always comes up yeah. at the very beginning, like, you're going to want to put your kids to bed.
That is a great touch for sure. All right. So Avery becomes the star every Tuesday at 11:30. Dan, do you enjoy this story?
Yes, it's a very interesting story, very bizarre and
disgusting, right?
Yeah.
At least no one's burned alive.
That's the bar. That's the bar.
Is that the bar we've set on Tuesday mornings? It's not a good story unless somebody's burned alive.
Oh, my God. All right, Avery, take us away.
All right, so this is the death of Eliza Lamb.
Yep.
Her case is... like, she was staying at the Cecil Hotel in Los Angeles. She is the second most known murder out of anyone who stayed there. The most known was Elizabeth Short.
Yeah.
The Black Dahlia.
Yeah.
Which is really awesome.
Okay. Maybe another Tuesday.
I like her case, too.
Okay, so I have to ask you a question. So, like, before we totally dive into this, do you... is it a dream of yours to solve these or to be a victim of one of these? Because you like these so much, it's almost like you would be flattered to be part of one of these.
I mean, I really like them. I would like to take part in a documentary. That would be a lot of fun.
Man, that is really ambiguous. All right. She's Avery Dill, Ace Producer. This is Issel and Louis, True Crime Tuesday. Keep going.
All right. So in January of 2013... Eliza, she's a Canadian college student at this point in time, 21, getting ready to graduate if she hasn't already. And she's doing a solo road trip across the west coast of the U.S.
Yep. Normal thing to do, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so because she's solo, she contacts her parents literally every day of this trip.
Yep.
Like a good daughter, you know, go Eliza. You did a good job.
Yeah.
And then so she's in LA, she's staying there for a few days, and she chooses the Cecil Hotel, which has a history. It was officially opened 1927, and since then, there were multiple murders, suicides, paranormal activities, unexplained deaths. A lot of the unexplained deaths could be paranormal for yep. that cause. A lot of the suicides are suspected to be because of the paranormal activities. Mm. Pretty cool.
What'd you stay there for?
It was roughly the halfway point of the two cities that she was traveling between at this okay. point in time.
All right.
And she wanted to hit as many places as possible. And I don't blame her. It's L.A. Well, the Cecil Hotel is not in the best area, so much so that if someone walked through the hotel lobby, mostly nude or completely covered in blood, no one batted an eye. Like, it's totally normal over there.
We call this the Avery Motel. Keep going.
And there were actually several serial killers who stayed here.
Yeah, yeah.
The most well-known, the Night Stalker.
Mm. Ooh.
That's another week.
It is another week. I've already got that listed down.
We'll leave the light on for you.
Oh, I'm not afraid of the dark. But so when she starts staying at the Cecil, she's originally roomed with other people, which I find that kind of weird because she's traveling alone, but she's being roomed with other people. I don't get it.
Okay.
And so she has multiple mental health issues, bipolar disorder.
No.
I know. It's a shocker. Bipolar disorder being basically her main. And she's just going crazy at this point in time. She's not taking her meds as she should. So in my mind, she's either trying to wean herself off or she doesn't want to be medicated and like affecting her brain while she's on this trip.
Sure.
And both very reasonable, you know? Well, her roommates couldn't handle her breakdown.
Mm.
So they request her to be moved to a private room. The hotel moves her. And this is great. And around January 30th, it's her last time contacting her parents on this trip. The 31st, she's at a bookstore called The Last Bookstore. Very spooky vibes, you know? Love it. And this is like her last known whereabouts. There's also security camera footage from one of the hotel elevators from this day.
Yep.
Very awesome video. I love this footage. She's like, so she's jumping in and out of the elevator for 4 straight minutes.
Yeah.
She's like, it looks like she's talking to someone, but no one ever shows up. She's moving her hands in all these, like, weird directions. Possibly talking to a ghost. I mean, it's haunted. Like, multiple deaths and everything happened here. Makes perfect sense.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just great. Love it. This is her last known whereabouts all in all. She does not call her parents this day.
Mm.
They try reaching out multiple times. And over time, the parents get very concerned. I mean, they're parents. You would expect that. Especially since she had talked to them every single day.
Right.
So they call from Canada to the LAPD. Hey, my daughter's missing. Something's wrong.
Yep.
I don't know what, but she hasn't called us. And they reached out several times to try and reach her. And there was just no communication after the 30th.
Mm.
And so,
by the way, tons of texts coming, 437-9680. People are loving this one. Keep going.
Yes. So she starts out completely as a missing persons case.
Yep.
A few days later, she's supposed to check out of the hotel and move to the next Californian city. But she never does.
Right.
And so the staff didn't think much of it. They're like, oh, she's probably murdered or missing. This is normal. Like I said.
You're so right. That's exactly what they were thinking.
No one's going to, like, bat an eye if you walk through the hotel mostly nude and covered in blood. Like, going missing and being murdered is not something you're going to think twice about.
Mm.
They just gather her belongings from her room and set them aside. And so over the next several days, Like, police, they're doing their job. They're investigating, trying to find Eliza. But there's also issues at the hotel happening. There were multiple complaints about the water pressure suddenly minimizing. And there were multiple people who lived here, so it's like, they know what the water pressure is supposed to feel like.
Yep.
And it's just not there. So on February 19th, about 2.5 to 3 weeks later, someone finally reports the water tastes funny.
this is my favorite part of
the
story. Low water pressure and a weird taste coming from the tap water.
And this gives all of the red flags. Like, oh, there's something seriously wrong. The water's just like, the pipes aren't just acting up.
Yeah,
so
right.
They send their maintenance guy up to the roof to check out their 4 water towers. Like, it's got to be a pretty big hotel if there's 4 water towers
for this.
No question.
Yep.
And it is pretty big. And they, like, he gets up there. It's a lot to get up there. There's a special exit. There's an alarm that has to be disarmed. Otherwise, it's going to go off. It'll alert the staff, and it'll be heard on the top 2 floors. That is important to note, because that did not go off.
Yep.
Like, the maintenance guy, he completely disarmed it and everything. He went up there.
Pedro.
Yes.
Yes.
And then he gets up there and he realizes the top hatch to one of these water towers is open. He's like, oh, well, that's not supposed to be like that. And he climbs up there, lots of effort. And he looks inside this open water tank and he's like, oh, there's a dead body. Yep. It's Eliza Lamb. Face up about a foot from the top.
Ooh.
And she's already starting to decay.
Oh, yeah.
And I did some extra research. The earliest she would have been able to get up there for the decaying process to start would be February 12th.
Oh, God.
So we don't know when she got up there, but February 12th, earliest date she could have been up there.
We're getting so many texts. Keep going.
And so, rightfully so, he calls the police and reports that they find this body. And on the coroner's report, it's announced, like, it's her cause of death is announced as a drowning.
Yeah.
They don't know where she drowned. It could have been in the water tank, but it also could have been elsewhere, and she was moved there to dispose of the body. And it's completely unknown how she got up there. Like, whether, like, falling into the water tank was her cause of death, being thrown in there. But like I said, there's a very set way that you got to get up there and not be caught.
Right.
And that would involve employee personnel. No one's ever admitted to murder.
Or at least someone knowing the code to get up there, yes?
Exactly.
So there are residents. There's a guy, including in this article you sent us, who's lived there over a generation. He's lived there 32 years, right? So that guy might have figured out the code at some point, but it would have to be an insider to get her up there, right?
Yes.
Yes. Like, by the way, people texting in, 437-9680, this was on a documentary that they had to change the name of the hotel. And there's so many things that have happened at this hotel that this was like a footnote in the documentary.
Yeah, it's so true.
One of the stories they included. Okay, so there's a couple of things going on here. The first is she's probably psychotic at this point.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Like, no question. The second part is someone had to know the damn code to get her up to the roof.
Yes.
Right? So you've got those two things together. Avery Dill, give us your opinion then on what happened.
I can't figure it out.
Bad sports talk radio.
I really can't. Like, this is the one case that I absolutely can't figure out how
to
do.
Give me the 40% chance you think happened.
I want to say something paranormal.
Oh, okay.
Nice. It's one of the least lower likely options.
Okay.
However, it is an option. She definitely couldn't have gotten there from a fire escape because she would have been seen through a window by people. I want to say something paranormal, potentially.
All right, here's mine. You ready? Actually, I'll let Dan go because mine's boring. Dan, go.
I have no idea.
I love True Crime Tuesday. Keep it up. This is bad. Okay, I'm going to tell you what I think happened. This is a very old hotel. She went up to the place where you're required to have something, but the alarm would be tripped. The alarm just didn't work. And she climbed into the tank and just died.
Oh. Okay.
I think unfortunately it's that boring.
Yeah.
It could be.
It could be, right? That's at least possible, right? Yeah. It's plausible. If we're doing the Occam's razor, that's it.
If that's not what happened, then it seems to me that it had to be some kind of an inside job.
Correct, yes, right. Those are really the three options, right?
Yeah. Hey, have I ever told you the story about the water cooler at practice?
Did someone die in it?
No, but if you remember, when I played basketball, I wore a plate for my three front teeth, and I played without them, which seems to disturb a lot of people when they see pictures of my career with my three front teeth missing. I only took them out to play basketball. I wore them most of the other time. So one day we're at practice, and I always tried to do things kind of liven up practice. So we had a Gatorade water cooler, and we had a water break. Our trainer brought it out from the locker room, and we had a water break, and I kind of hung back and let everybody take a drink out of the Gatorade cooler. And when everybody had taken a drink, I unscrewed the top and took my plate out of the bottom of the water cooler. kind of like poor Eliza floating in the water system for the hotel.
Oh, man. That's great. Well, this is True Crime Tuesday. Here we are. If you would like to sponsor True Crime Tuesday, reach out. here on ESPN 680, 105.7, Issel and Louie hanging out with you. Ace producer Avery Dill, very nice job. Dozens of texts on that one.
Way to go, Avery.
Someone positing that the person in the elevator that she was talking to is the killer. How about that?
Yeah, that's
the other reasonable. That could be someone who worked there or one of the longtime residents, something like that. Yeah, for sure. So, well, there you go. So, oh, man. All right. Well, we've done what? So we've done an art heist. We've had people raped and burned alive in a house. We've had what else have we done here, Avery?
Bank heist. Yep. We've had wine fraud.
Oh, the wine fraud. That's right. I like that one, too. Yeah, those are all good. All right.
It's fun. I like doing this.
It's fun.
It's very
soothing and therapeutic.
It is. Sometimes I drink wine during this and just relax.
Oh, man. I can hardly wait till next Tuesday.
You know, I really wish the Cecil was still a hotel and not a low-income housing facility.
Yeah, right.
Because I would go. And I would try the tap water.
Oh, Avery.
I would want to stay there.
Avery. Oh, man.
Oh, Lordy. Oh, man. This is Issel and Louie. Bob up next. Sweezy and Streetle at 3. You get Jack Grossman for 4 minutes at 6 o'clock. Then Reds, 6 at 10. They are playing some team in Major League Baseball. What is it? Phillies. There you go. Hey. All right. So drinking tap water at the Cecil Hotel. That's where we're at now. Oh, man.
It would be pretty cool.
Okay. That's great. I'll drink the bottled water in L.A. Thank you
very much. I wouldn't go within 10 miles of this dump.
What if they had salami sandwiches, Dan? Would you go then?
No.
Okay. All right.
No.
All right, okay.
No.
I didn't know how strong the salami sandwich attraction was.
It's not an attraction. It's the only alternative I have.
So are you taking your lady out for dinner tonight, or what are we doing then?
You know, we are going out to lunch. Our grandson is leaving for school tomorrow, so we're going to take him to lunch because we probably won't see him for the next 9 months. So
where is he going to school?
He's going to CU. He has put his baseball career in the rearview mirror.
Oh, good for him.
And is going to go be a college student. So
that's great.
Yeah, that's where Scott, my son, went to CU, was on the 5-year plan. And so I'm imagining that's how long it's going to take Benjamin to get out of CU.
Yeah, Benjamin, you know, a little bolder, little gummies. Yeah, he's going to have a good time up there. You know?
Yeah. No, he'll stay away from that stuff.
Yeah, sure.
He's a beer drinker. So.
He's all, like grandfather, like grandson. There you go.
I'll tell you this story. This is funny. We went to when we were in Lexington for Mike's memorial.
Yeah.
We went over to Sherry's sister's house, and to say that Sherry's sister and her husband are straight laced would be an understatement. So Ben's 19.
Yeah.
So they said, well, you know, it's up to you, Sheridan. If you think it's all right if he has a beer, go ahead. And so they bought a six pack of Blue Moon because my brother-in-law said, you know, I like Blue Moon. So
I thought you said beer.
So I'll that's good. I'll drink the Blue Moon. Mm. We were there for I don't know 4 or 5 hours, and when we left, there was no Blue Moon left for my brother-in-law. Oh man. Well, I hear the music, Louie. That means, like Mitch says, there isn't much to talk about in the summertime. And so, you know.
Time to get walking.
That's right.
They change hosts all the time.
We have to make hills out of mountains out of molehills. But we appreciate you back again tomorrow at 10 o'clock. This has been Issel and Louie on ESPN Radio. We hope you'll join us again. Have a great day, everybody.
Looking for work? Better pay? Better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring day sort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.